There's one set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11, 11 listeners.
This is Shiny Geek.
Engage.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of The Unique Geek. I'm your host, John, and as we get into the final days of our 50-day countdown to Dragon Con, what are we at, Lee? Only four?
Well, it depends, but yeah, about four. Maybe five, depending on how you count it.
I think it's five.
Okay, five. I'll go with five. I'll go with our guest, and he says five, so that works. So five, and I'm freaking out, John, because you know why?
Why?
Because it's only 5 days. Well, I've had a whole year. I've done a lot of planning, but oh my God, it's 5 days.
Yeah, 5 days.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
5 days, before we get to that, let's all just hope that as we're doing this, the hurricane is kind of ripping up the eastern seaboard. And
actually, according
to a couple of things I read on Facebook that came through, actually I got it from the new DragonCon app. We had a couple of people that had to actually bow out because we've had
a couple of people because they are worried about how things are going to be redone, and that's a little worrisome. But yes, let us all think very positive thoughts for all of our. Many of us have friends and coworkers and family that are up the East Coast right now, and so we are thinking very positive thoughts. The good thing is the hurricane, as I speak, is a Category 1, but that still pulls a lot of rain and water places and wind. So
yeah, being
it's
down
not like it's done, but.
Being down here in Florida, if it was Florida, right. We'd be like, "Well, it's Category 1. Who cares?" However,
the way that specifically
New York and that area is designed, there's a lot of stuff underground. Here in Florida, we don't do anything underground because, well, you dig 3 feet and you hit water.
Being
up there, it's going to not be so cool for at least the next few days. Hopefully that's it. Hopefully it's just a lot of inconvenience and a lot of drying that has to happen. So let's just hope that that's the case. As you hear this, it's probably already long and gone, but let's just hope for that.
We are thinking good positive thoughts for all our friends.
But let's
Where is that hurricane right now?
Right now it was the last I saw on the Weather Channel about an hour and a half ago, it was off of Virginia. But the winds and the tendrils were all already in New York. So we're already getting up that way. So that's where we are right now. So
moving north.
Moving north, moving straight up that seaboard, straight up northeast. It's just following the nice little landline very well, unfortunately.
Got it.
Hoping it was going out to sea, but it didn't. So I'm going to actually introduce our guest because he's talking. And you guys are wondering, who in the world have they got? Well, we have a very, we actually have a very new director. This is only his second year. So, you know, probably doesn't know a whole lot, but it's all right. We kind of like him anyway. So I'd like to introduce Garrett Wang, who is the director of Trek Track. Hi, Garrett.
Hi. First correction. Don't get mad at me. Wang is Wong, believe it or not. So
I am so sorry. Garrett Wong.
It's pronouncing it the way that most 99% of Americans would pronounce it because it's spelled A, and Americans usually pronounce an A hard and not soft, right?
So it's Garrett Wong. Well, can I try to say that I did it with a Southern accent?
Sure.
Let's try it that way. Garrett Wong. I'm going to work on that. So it's Garrett Wong.
Yeah.
So we're very glad he is here, and thank you for correcting me on that.
Sure. Can I just tell you how it is like that?
Yes, please. I would love to know that.
You will see spellings of, because then your question is, why don't you spell your name W-O-N-G?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it pretty much shows what part of China your ancestors come from. W-O-N-G is Southern. So that would be Hong Kong and the whole Canton province is W-O-N-G. W-A-N-G is pretty much pronounced the exact same way, but that is Central and Northern China spelling. So if you're in Beijing, very far north in China, there's nobody with W-O-N-G. It's all W-A-N-G there. So,
okay. But still pronounced as Wong.
Wong.
There we go.
All right. And now we're educated. The more you know.
The more you know.
Knowing is half the battle.
John has a soundboard. So, yes, and that's interesting. Now you want me to, I'm actually sitting here not trying to do that so Skype doesn't act up, but I almost want to pull up a map and see what you were talking about. So that's very cool. So, but you are the director of Trek Track, and we were actually also going to have your second on tonight, RJ, but unfortunately he couldn't be here. But so you have been the director now, correct, 2 years?
Yes, this will be my second year.
So how did you become the director of X-Track? I mean, X-Track, excuse me, X-Track.
Yeah, how did you become the director of X-Track? That's what I want to know, Garrett. How did you become the director of X-Track?
Oh, shush.
And we forgive you, Lee, because of all your dealings with the water and floods.
I'm having plumbing problems.
Plumbing issues. That's what it is. How did I become the director of Trek Track? Well, the first time I was invited to Dragon Con was 2003. Mm-hmm. And I was a guest there, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. And it took about 6 more years to get a second invite back because of the sheer size of Dragon Con. They pretty much put actors into a rotation where once you're asked to come to Dragon Con, you're usually not asked the next year. 6 years to get back. So in 2009, I arrived for the second time as a guest. And I was on stage with the ex-director of Trek Track, Eric Watts, was on stage also. And during my stage talk, I said, wow, wouldn't it be great if I could come back again next year so I don't have to wait 6 years, maybe as a co-MC? I said, you got a job for me? I said something like that on stage. And Eric sort of shrugged his shoulders. And probably a few months after Dragon Con ended on 2009 year, turned out that Eric Watts was no longer the director of Trek Track.
Right.
A lot of news on different message boards talking about, Eric did such a great job. You know, well, good luck finding somebody new. You know, you're going to have a hard time trying to match Eric. You know, good luck. That kind of sentiment was going on. And so I sent an email to Pat Henry, chairman of Dragon Con, asking if he would consider me as the replacement. That email was met with a lot of surprise. They didn't expect that. That was definitely a curveball for Pat and for everybody, all the other directors, everybody involved with Dragon Con. That was a curveball. Because up until my request, nobody in the history of cons, no actor at least from a show, has ever asked to do that, you know? So the return email was like, are you kidding? I go, no, I'm serious. And so that we did a test run last year, 2010, with me as the director. And I think it turned out well. I think most people are fairly pleased, the ones that did show up to last year's Dragon Con. And here I am again doing year two now.
Doing year two. So
now,
very cool.
Now let's actually take a little step back real quick in case – there are a few of you that don't know where Garrett Wong's from. He of course played Harry Kim on Star Trek Voyager, so that's why he was invited as a guest originally to Dragon Con and then had such a great time. Now that's actually interesting because we do talk a lot on this podcast about how actors and celebrities in general that come guests of Dragon Con, that come to Dragon Con, do have such a good time that it's a little different than other conventions in which the guests feel more, I don't know, I guess feel more welcome. Was that the case with you? Is that what happened?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't so much for me feeling welcome or not. And they definitely went out of their way to make me feel welcome. It was more about the experience that I had at Dragon Con, being a person in attendance of the event itself, being there on the floor. You know, I'm not one of those actors who does their stage talk, does their signing, and straight up to the hotel room, lock all the doors, and hope nobody knocks on it. You know, I'm not one of those guys. I like to see everything, so I walked around and the Marriott and Hilton, all the different hotels, and checked everything out and I really fell in love with the atmosphere and the actual event itself, which I find to be probably one of, you know, in my estimation, it is the best convention in the North America continent, I would say. and possibly the world. So that's been my feeling since I came the first time in 2003. I felt that in 2009. I made a funny remark on stage in 2009, hoping I would be invited back in 2010. And then I find out, that I was there was an opening as a director. So I said, why don't I do this? You know, this is something that I've always been, I've always enjoyed appearing at conventions. My stage talk, I make it more like a stand-up comedy act. I do impersonations. I tell stories in the way that a stand-up comic would deliver a story, basically. So it's, to me, I love it. I really enjoy it. So.
Very cool. So were you, before you were on Voyager, but were you a sci-fi fan before?
Yeah, I was. And I think that's part of it. That's one of the reasons why I love going to cons. I think the first thing that I ever saw was in the theater in 1977 when Star Wars came out.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the first sci-fi I ever saw. So that would have put me at about 8 or 9 at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was floored.
Yeah.
Absolutely floored. I was amazed. Just any adjective you can think of. It was just the most amazing experience to see something like that as a child. And after that, I was hooked. I saw everything. You know, I watched the original Battlestar Galactica series on TV. I watched Buck Rogers on TV. I watched anything that was sci-fi fantasy based. I would watch, you know, and I saw pretty much every single film, sci-fi film that ever came out in the theaters from Star Wars on, I've seen. So I would definitely label myself as a fan.
Oh, awesome. On Trek Track this year, and what are some of the big things you're doing? I mean, you've got a really big name guest in William Shatner coming, but what are some of the other things that Trek Track is really excited about this year?
Well, we have two newbies, basically. All the other actors that are guests this year on Trek Track have been here once or more times in the past. But this year we have, Will Wheaton, Wesley Crusher, the boy genius from Next Generation. But now he's actually the man genius. And I say that with complete respect. My other moonlighting gig besides, DragonCon is the master of ceremonies for FedCon in Germany, which is the largest European, convention, sci-fi con.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And Will was a guest there, so I had a chance to introduce. I was introducing all the actors on stage, so I had a chance to talk to him outside, basically away from off stage. But on stage, I was able to hear his entire talk. And all I can say is, when I came out on stage to bring him off stage, I sort of looked at the audience and said something to the effect of "Will Wheaton for president." President of the world.
Awesome.
He's a smart cat. He's very well spoken. He did a great bit on Big Bang Theory as the villain. I mean, that was hilarious. But overall, just, I thought he delivered a superior stage talk. I'm excited to have him here. This will be his first time ever at Dragon Con. And we also have the actress who portrayed his mother on Next Gen, Gates McFadden. Dr. Beverly Crusher. So that'll be nice to have the two of them there. And the other new person would be Robbie McNeil. New in that he's never been to Dragon Con, but not new in that he's been invited four or five times. I don't even know now. And he's canceled every single time. Okay. But I want to make it very clear that as Trek Track director, I can suggest people that I would like as guests, but I'm not part of the selection committee.
Right.
Which I may start lobbying to be a part of at some point. You know, I know probably 90% of all genre of these actors, these guests that come over. So I think I would be an invaluable resource in that regard. And look at myself. I'm campaigning for myself.
Right, yeah, you are campaigning.
Again.
By the way, they do listen to these podcasts.
Yeah.
They tell me later, oh, by the way, you asked that question. Yes, I did. Oops, I didn't know you were listening. Okay.
So, you know, I don't necessarily get to choose who comes. I can suggest. And I told them last year, I said, listen, guys, don't invite McNeil until he's done with Chuck. Because his life as an actor has been over for years. All he does is direct and produce at this point. And he does a very good job at that. And he's a producer and a director on the NBC series Chuck, which I follow also.
Yes.
And I've been on the set numerous times to observe Robbie direct. And I just told them there's a pretty damn good chance that he's not going to be able to make it. Oh, I just swore. Is that possible?
Can
you swear on a podcast?
You are fine. Yes. Don't worry about it.
Okay. I said the D word.
Uh-oh.
And not donut. All right.
Fun.
So he really, I'm crossing my fingers. I hope he makes it because every single year that he's canceled, which would be last year, the year before, both years I was there. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Every time that he's canceled, essentially what happens is all the panels that were Harry and Tom together, so Paris and Kim panels, become solo Kim panels. So that means I end up doing like six panels, you know, each per con. It's, oh my gosh, it's kind of nuts. So hopefully he'll make it. We'll see.
But you bring up a really good point here in that a lot of guests really want to be at con. Unfortunately, Adam Baldwin just canceled. Again, somebody who was on Chuck. And I'm sorry. Yeah, he canceled yesterday. But the issue is because they get work. And we're very happy when the actors we love get work. But, yeah, of course we're a little disappointed. But that's why I know somebody on the LiveJournal community was like, I just don't ever want to see him again if he keeps canceling on us. And somebody said, you know, are you enjoying Chuck? That's why he's canceling. Get over it. You know, I mean, that's what people are canceling because they get a job. And these are working actors. And we need to support that as well. We need to understand that, too. So I think you're right. And I'd love him to be there. He actually, I'm giving my own track a plug, he directed a couple episodes of Supernatural before Chuck, if I am correct. And so, that's great that he's going to be there. I know he's done a lot of directing work, which I think will be great.
Yeah, he got his start on Voyager. Voyager gave him the chance to direct first, and he was the first actor to request to direct and the first actor to direct. And after that, he went on to do a lot of like Nickelodeon, like kid shows, mm-hmm. directing those. And he cut his teeth on those. And after he got more and more proficient at his job as a director, he started landing some stuff that were more A-list, more high profile jobs. Like he directed Desperate Housewives. He directed The OC. He directed the pilot of, what was the Christina Applegate show?
What was it? Oh, I know that one.
Forgetting something. She has that. She has a amnesia, and she comes back and doesn't know, you know, how rude she was in the past. Oh my gosh! Anyway, so he directed that as well as numerous other top quote unquote A-list TV shows, and now he landed on Chuck. It's interesting because they thought that last season was going to be the last one.
Mm-hmm.
They all felt that. Robbie said, "No, we're done." He goes, "Honestly, my thought has been." I thought that we would only met every season we've been on. I thought was going to be the last one, including season one. He felt that, and he said, "No, this is it. We're done. Four, we're done. I'm sure." And then I talked to the executive, the creator, the show creator, and he was he had the same opinion. I was there the last day that they shot the last episode of this last season, and they shut off all the lights. Everyone's hugging each other. Like, "Hey, it's so great working with you. Keep in touch. Yeah. Oh, I hope your kids do well in school. Blah blah blah." And they all felt it was done. And I told McNeil, I said, "It's not done." I said, "You're coming back for something, at least a partial order next year." And I would bet on that. And I told that to the show creator too. And he laughed. He goes, "Yeah, probably not, but thanks for the sentiment, you know." And sure enough, they're back. So.
They're back. They're very cool.
By the way, the name of that show was Samantha Who.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Otherwise, it probably would have driven you all nuts.
On IMDb ever.
Well, or Wikipedia, and we know Wikipedia is always right.
Oh, Wikipedia
never gets
is
anything
right.
wrong.
And Robbie actually hired Tim Russ for that job. Tim Russ played Tuvok on Voyager. Was the he played the doorman the doorman of the building that Samantha lives in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay. So your turn, John.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, so let's imagine that you have, we've already started talking a little bit about guests, so let's imagine you have the power to have any three guests that you want. They don't have to be real. They can be fictional. The only
not
guideline,
zombies.
You're not dead zombies. She has a fear of zombies, apparently. I guess
fear of zombies.
Things. Which you would think at this con, there's plenty of people with weaponry that could stop zombies. But anyway, whatever. I guess the problem is that they would blend in too easily. That's what it is.
Right.
Anyway,
right.
So you could have three guests. Any three guests that you want. Who would they be? They don't have to be for
living
for
or
your
dead.
Trick.
Living or dead. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Any three. Well, guest number one would be Harrison Ford.
Oh. Has Harrison Ford come up before, Lee?
Yes.
One time. It wasn't very often,
he's
though.
He's come up at least one. Not often. Not
right,
often,
because he's one of those.
All, like, never going to come.
Yeah, right. It's one of those you're never going to get him. But it doesn't matter.
They handcuffed him and got him to Comic-Con. I have hope now.
Yeah.
He may have very well gone there against his own will. Anyway, go on. Sorry, Garrett.
See, what I'm doing is I'm trying to think back to my childhood mm-hmm. and when I first started watching sci-fi. So I'm just trying to think of who I would have loved to have to see as a guest. And he'd be number one, being Han Solo, you know, and also Indy.
Right.
I guess number two would be Linda Carter.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Now, nobody has mentioned Linda Carter, so that's an interesting one.
Yeah, I just thought she was the prettiest thing I'd ever seen when I saw Wonder Woman. I really did. I don't know. So that's just a personal favorite of mine. And then number three, goodness gracious, that is tough. I don't know. The only thing that's coming to my mind is James Earl Jones because of his voice of Darth Vader.
Oh, nice. Yes, very nice.
That's a nice one.
Yeah,
and he's you know, and he's got a great body of work too. Besides just that, but if you're looking on just in the
fabulous,
yeah,
Hunt for Red October, remember he was in that?
Yes. Yeah, he was in a couple of the Jack Ryan movies. Actually, he was very.
Was he?
Yeah, okay. He was in a couple of the when Harrison Ford played Jack Ryan. I know at least one, at least two. So So yeah, those are interesting choices, and nobody has said James Earl Jones yet. So that's actually pretty interesting. I like that one.
Can I relate an interesting story that's related to this?
Sure.
Okay.
Love
I remember when I was told that I had won the role of Ensign Kim. I was actually at Disney, ABC. There's a show called All American Girl years ago, and it was only on for one season. It was the Asian family of Margaret Cho.
Yes, I remember that. Yes.
Yes. So I was playing her. I was playing Raymond Hahn. I played in the first episode as her boyfriend, and I was an anesthesiologist. So I was able to tell my parents, "Look, I play a doctor on TV. Are you happy now?" you know, Asian parents. So while I was there, I found out that I got the role on Voyager, and. My agent told me that I had to hustle my butt over after finishing work on All American Girl. It was a rehearsal day, and get my butt over to Paramount Studios to the wardrobe department for Star Trek to get a fitting. And this was imperative that I got there today. And I was freaking out because ABC Disney, they're on the other side of the hill. They're in the valley in Los Angeles. So getting from one side of the hill to the other to Hollywood is not easy, especially during rush hour traffic. And they wanted me there by, you know, a certain time. And I remember just getting out of leaving the valley and rushing to Paramount in Hollywood and coming up to the front gate. And the security guard there was actually there for my second audition and my third. He was there for all my auditions after my first one. And I told him, I said, "Hey, I got it." And he goes, "Man, I knew you got it." He goes, "You owe me a case of beer, man." So he goes, "I knew you got it." So that was exciting. I said, "Listen, where do I park?" He goes, "Anywhere." And I'm late. So I bust in there, peeling rubber in my black Nissan Sentra. And I come around the corner and I'm looking for a spot. And this guy walks between two cars and he's wearing a suit. That's all I know at the time. And he walks right in front of my car while I'm moving quite rapidly down this aisle of parked cars. I slam on my brakes and I literally stop within probably 6 inches of taking this guy out, or at least take maiming him. I mean, it was crazy. So my heart's beating 1,000 miles an hour. His heart's beating 1,000 miles an hour. And he looks up at me and I look at him. We lock eyes and I notice it's Harrison Ford.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You almost took Harrison Ford out?
I almost put him in a wheelchair for life or possibly killed him, you know? I just imagine the headlines and all the trade papers, you know, new actor cast on Star Trek runs over Harrison Ford in a rush to get to the wardrobe meeting, you know? And he was in a suit, which was really odd. So I thought he was an executive, but obviously it wasn't. It was Harrison Ford. And then the next day in the Daily Variety, the trade paper for Hollywood, you see on the headlines, Harrison Ford at premiere of Clear and Present Danger, you know, one of the other novels from Clancy, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it shows him wearing the same suit that I almost hit him in. but absolutely hilarious, though. Just the thought that could, how my life, my whole life would have changed. People would have known me as the guy that you know, broke his legs or put him in a wheelchair for life or something like that. You know?
Oh, goodness gracious. Awesome. Yep. But you didn't. You were able to stop in that great Nissan Sentra.
Exactly, in that great Nissan Sentra.
By the way,
I almost had a head-to-head collision with Ted Danson. He was coming out of a subterranean garage, and I was zooming into the garage, and we almost nailed each other. So that was another brush with celebrity.
See, John, that makes me running into Patrick Stewart not that unusual, even though you say that I did it on purpose and I didn't.
Yeah, but
you physically ran into him?
Yeah.
Not with her car. Not with her car.
My person ran into him the year he was here. I was walking in the Walk of Fame and talking to somebody and like on the phone and doing those things that you're trying to check as a director. And I was walking to the Walk of Fame to check on one of the actors for us and one of our guests. And I was doing that. And all of a sudden I just kind of slightly bumped somebody and I went, oh, I'm so sorry. And I proceeded to walk on. The person I was with stopped dead in their tracks. and I turned and I heard this little no problem and walked on and didn't even think about it. And the person just, the friend I was with stopped in their tracks. And they went, do you just know what you did? And I went, I ran into somebody. I said I was sorry, didn't I? And they were like, you ran into Patrick Stewart. And I was like, I did not. And I flipped around and that was the only time I ever saw him the whole con. And I saw the back of his head and I was like, I cannot believe I just did that. And he was like, you ran into, I was like, oh my goodness gracious.
See, okay. Here's the difference. So, yeah. Here's the difference, Lee. You're what, about 3'7"?
I am 5'1". Excuse me. I'm going to use Garrett's term. I'm 5'1", damn it.
Lee, you should have yelled after him. You should have said, nice running into you, Patrick.
I just couldn't believe I did it. And I was like, I did not even notice. I did not even really know. I just like, oh, I'm so sorry. And yeah, excuse me. Yeah. So that was awesome. Yes. And I don't even, because he was in a different area. That was what was so weird is he was in a different area during so much of the stuff. So this was like one of the few times he was like in a main area. Yeah. I didn't mean to.
Oh, I thought you tackled him. I thought you slammed into him or he fell on the floor.
No, I contend that she purposely ran into him to this day, but.
I see. He says these things about me, which are not true, Jonathan.
You're trying to cop a little Captain Fielder.
Anyway,
moving on. Actually, let me ask you as we've already said, last year was your first year as director. How do you feel that it went? I understand. I do understand from talking to a couple of the other directors that you're very gullible and are willing to buy donuts for anybody. But besides that, how did your first year go? What was what about this year was that year was really exciting for you? What turned out really well?
I'll tell you, I've never been that much on the run for the entire con, just moving, constantly moving, than in my entire life in doing anything. I did feel like a chicken with my head cut off at times. So much so that I remember, because I was really going between moderating panels, introducing people, back to the Walk of Fame to sign, and then back over to introduce to other people and other hotels too, not only just the Sheraton, where Trek Track is based. But I would, you know, for instance, I had to go back to Marriott for Captain Archer's panel, Scott Bakula.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just running around so much. And the funny thing, you know, I was trying to make it easy on myself. I told transportation, I said, listen, guys, have a car ready to move me around from this place, this building, to this building, just to save some time, so I'm not running all over the place. And it seemed every time I came out, they'd say, "Oh, yeah, your car just left. Brent Spiner was in it." And I'd go, "What?" I go, "Oh, okay." I think Brent took my car like four times throughout the con. So then I just gave up. I said, "I'm just going to walk." So I just walked it back and forth, back and forth. But the problem is walking back and forth in late summer, so it's still kind of humid and still kind of warm outside, you know.
It's hot. It's damp.
Yeah, it's hot. And I'm a sweater. I'll admit it. I definitely have the – God gave me an excellent cooling system that immediately I start sweating to cool myself off whenever I'm hot. And unfortunately, that just – sweating through your clothes is not good, you know, when you're supposed to be introducing people and you're a wet mess. So that was probably the most difficult part of it, was just getting around to everything. And I remember one time I was signing and someone told me, "Oh, by the way, it's this time." I got wrapped up in talking to fans, and next thing you know, the Deep Space Nine panel had already started, you know, so I wasn't able to even introduce that one. So that was my one snafu, I would think, for the entire con, was missing the intro of that panel. But everything else went fairly smoothly. The pageant, which changed. The prior years, it was the Miss Klingon Empire pageant. Now it's the Miss Star Trek Universe pageant. Nice. I was the MC for that. I plopped in there probably 5 minutes before going up, and it went off quite smoothly. I mean, it was good. It ran over in time, so they're giving us a little more time this year to do it. But I'm not complaining in the least. I'm glad that everything that went the way it did. Even Brent Spiner stealing my car.
So, okay. Well, let's go back and address something that we talked about at the very beginning. There was a lot of chatter when you first took over, and I don't want to necessarily go into the details of that, but I do want to just say that that just seems to be the function of the internet, if you will, is just to criticize and say, "Oh, no one can do this, no one can do that." But from all intent, for everything that I've heard, the Star Trek track did not lose a step last year. So kudos to you. Just to kind of put that out there.
Wait, we didn't lose a what last year?
Lose a step. You didn't lose a step. In other words, you just kept the momentum going.
A step.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, what did you think I said? Well. I'm curious. What did you think I said?
I'm trying to say it went well.
Yeah. I thought you said staff, like STAFF.
Yeah, well, yeah, I didn't lose a single staff member.
I started thinking about Gandalf's staff. I go, wait a minute. Are they supposed to be given a staff to rule over the Trek?
Oh, man. Could we get one? That would be cool as directors. I get the little blue badge and a staff.
Maybe it's a blue staff. Maybe it's a nice large cool. blue staff. So,
if anybody's listening and wants to make me a blue staff, I'm 5'1", no matter what these people say. So don't make me, if you got to be about a foot taller if it's going to be like Gandalf staff. So I'm just saying. I'm just putting it
out.
You know
what? I think that the director should have some type of thing where, all right, in American football during practice, the quarterback wears a red jersey just to keep the defense, keep it in their mind. They're not supposed to really tackle him hard.
Don't hurt the guy in the red. Yeah.
Right. In the red. So it'd be amazing if we had some type of all direct. And that everyone, all the fans were notified beforehand. Okay. If you see a director wearing this color vest, they're in a hurry. Make room. It's sort of like an ambulance. Like an ambulance, you know, an ambulance siren. Everyone moves to the right, right?
Make just a hole, make it wide. We gotta get it.
Make a hole. Definitely, because it gets a little crowded at times getting between buildings. You know,
it does get a little crowded getting between buildings. See, the great thing, you've been here since we have those wonderful little internal that you don't have to go outside as much. Although
right.
from the Sheraton, you do, but it between the three main hotels. Those little habit trails between the Hyatt and the Marriott and the Hilton have, yes, they are a very nice thing. We like them a lot. We we thank them for the Dragon Con sky bridges because they are very cool.
Definitely. They're great. Love them.
Love them. So, okay. So con is over. Think about it this way. We're not, we're only like 10 days away from con being over. You, everybody's gone. All your staff, you've hugged everybody bye.
Yeah.
How are you coming down from con? How are you relaxing? How are you saying, okay, I get to take a deep breath?
I think the minute that it's over, the last programming, I say goodbye, I do take a quick deep breath. But I really, I go through what other fans go through, which is con blues, you know? You get that blue phase where you're like, oh no, it's over, you know, and you, and you're depressed. There's a depression that, that sinks in. That's the first thing that sinks in. And that can last for days, maybe weeks, you know, but, I don't know. I mean, I just try to get back into my normal schedule again as best I can, but it's difficult. For me, it's going to be pretty crazy because con ends on the Monday, the 5th. So I go back home on the 6th. I fly back, I leave Atlanta. And the next day on the 7th, I'm flying to Germany to host, to MC a special event called the Captain's Table, which it's going to be Captain Janeway, Captain Sisko, and Captain Picard. So those three captains will be there. Yeah. So it's immediate. I'm back to another con, so
you're
I don't even have time.
Hop into the next one. That's good.
Yep. Hop into the next con. I don't think I'll go through my final decompression until I get back from that con, so it'll be sometime in mid-September when I'm normal again.
It'll be till then till I'm normal.
Know what, I think honestly my vote would go for having another Dragon Con at the 6 month period, so you don't have to wait a whole year.
Well, the waiting is what makes it so awesome, really.
I think
it's the anticipation builds. So
I agree, but I think it would be great to have another con 6 months later, not in Atlanta, but somewhere out west, because, you know, Atlanta's East Coast, you know. If you have one out west, it would afford all those people who are wasting their money at San Diego Comic-Con to come check out a Dragon Con. So,
good answer on that one.
Yeah, that's the way I feel. I think that would be really good.
That actually, I could get on board with that because we are the most awesome con there is.
It is, you know. And right now, the people in the in the southern area, if you're talking about Georgia and Tennessee and Alabama, they know it's the best con in the world. But people on the West Coast, a lot of them have no clue. I talk to people all the time saying, "Yeah, have you been to Dragon Con?" I am actually Dragon Con's biggest salesman, honestly. Every time I'm on a plane. Every time I'm in public, I just talk to random strangers, and it always ends up at Dragon Con, you know, in the conversation. So, they've never heard of it. I'd say 90 out of 100 or 95 out of 100 don't know of it. So.
Well, I think the good thing this year, though, because PAX is now on a different weekend, I think that's actually going to help us in a lot of ways because we are getting some people who've always been like, I can either go to PAX or I can go to Dragon Con. And I actually have some friends who are coming and saying, okay, since PAX moved, I'm coming that way. I mean, that's how we're getting Will Wheaton and some other people as well, is because they've usually gone to PAX. So let's hope we'll get some more Westies with that. But I think a lot – we're getting many, many people, which is kind of amazing. And yay, which is cool.
Yeah, and the thing that sets Dragon Con apart, and this is no slight to Comic-Con because, you know, Comic-Con is its own thing, but – for me, it seems like Comic-Con is more of an industry event, if you will, than it is a fan-driven event. I know they have a lot of fan panels, and there's a lot of fans that show up and go to these things, but it is more of a, you know, if you think about it, it's kind of like a Uber premiere, because they kind of hype all the shows that are coming out. I mean, it's not even necessarily things that have been out, things that the fans have had time to attach to. It's things that are coming out. So, you're right. I think there is something that's lacking out west in that vein where you could have, it wouldn't be nearly as expensive I guess it would be more expensive because it is more expensive to put things out in the west. But if you moved it to somewhere like in, I'll say New Mexico or something, the plane and fare would be a lot less for flying in the guests and whatnot. So,
yeah,
Yeah.
Vegas would.
It's not a bad idea. Okay, get on it, Garrett. You gonna take that over? Get that done?
Work on that. I think John's just going, sure, that sounds good. Okay, well.
I think it would be great to have it in either Arizona, New Mexico, or Nevada, you know?
Oh, Nevada, yeah.
Places.
That's what I said, Vegas, man.
Say Nevada. I'm living in Nevada right now, guys.
Oh, very cool.
Oh. Yeah.
Beautiful area.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. Yeah. And I actually would agree with you. I visit L.A. For work reasons, and driving anywhere in L.A., it doesn't matter if it's across town or six blocks away, it's going to take you a while. So I can't imagine how you got across town.
Oh, I think you dropped out again.
I'm period. So.
Oh, okay.
Congratulations on that. So, okay.
Well, let me ask
you. Dropped out, secondly.
Yeah, you dropped out there.
I dropped out. Oh. Yeah. I just wanted to say it's hard to get anywhere in L.A., so congratulations on ever doing that and making your costuming. So, good job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was difficult, but I just want to just go a little bit more into my feelings on Dragon Con versus San Diego Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
You know, people. I mean, people saving up enough money so I can make it out to San Diego Comic Con. You know, that's the con I want to go to. I've heard so much about it. And I sit there and I tell them, look. And these are mostly from fans that I've interacted with on Facebook. And I tell them, I said, listen, guys, don't even waste your money or your time because, first of all, you have to fly to San Diego, which is not going to be cheap. Secondly, you have to get a hotel room in San Diego, which is not going to be cheap because every hotel GM knows what San Diego Comic-Con is and when it is, and they price their rooms accordingly. Which are, in my estimation, priced out of reach of your normal citizen, you know, very expensive. And then if you want to see a panel, unfortunately, you're probably not going to get in unless you wait for hours upon hours before it starts to get in line. Because if you're talking about they have over 100,000 people there per day, right? Mm-hmm. And you've got a room with the Big Bang Theory in there, all the actors on the panel, and there's 3,000 seats. Well, I'm telling you, those 3,000 seats are going to be gone quickly, okay? So it's very difficult to see any panel. And I find that it is. It's become Hollywood's way to test out, to introduce their newest projects and to test the fan base to see if they like certain previews they've edited together to show at the convention for the first time. And it's just a way to hawk their newest sci-fi project, whether it's good or crappy, you know, they're going to sit there and do all this PR and see who will basically take the bite and try to, you know, shell out the 10 bucks, 15 bucks for a movie ticket to come to their new film, which usually sucks, like Tron, you know. So
I didn't say that.
No,
sorry.
But how do you really feel
talk about Neutron now? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Oh, horrible. So I find it to be very much like a trade show more than anything else. It looks like a trade show convention. And because of the masses of people, it's so difficult to get around. I mean, it'll take you like half an hour just to get to a bathroom, you know? So come on. And what are the majority of the 250 or 300,000 people that are there? They're mostly teenagers running around trying to get freebies because all these different you know, oh, you can get a free keychain. You know what I'm saying? That says whatever on it, Captain America keychain. So they're running to go grab that, and that's the majority of the people that are there. And when it comes to dressing up, I know a lot of people who attend conventions enjoy dressing up in their favorite costumes or costumes that they've made and spent lots of time and money on, and they want to show them off. Well, I think the amount of people dressed up at San Diego Comic-Con in relation to the amount of people attending, I'd say maybe 1%.
Yeah.
Well, and five tops.
Well, I think that's the difference too. And I think the other thing about Dragon Con, even though we're getting bigger and we're at 40K now. I mean, we're at 40,000. I think the other thing about Dragon Con is because I've had friends who've gone to Comic-Con and come to Dragon Con and both said, yeah, I'm going to keep coming here. I'm not going to stay there.
Yeah.
And the issue there has been that Dragon Con is 24 well, it's 24-4 because we're only 4 days, but it's 24-hour programming. You can find something to do at 4 a.m. You can find something to do at 4.
Oh, you dropped out.
But, you know, I kind of make a joke sometimes that Dragon Con, we the directors, we the people that are planning it, we like to throw an intimate party for our nearest and dearest closest friends, which happen to measure in the 40 to 50,000 person range. And so that's what we're trying to do at Dragon Con. And it's just great. I love asking the question, and I do this. I was just talking about this on another podcast. Sorry, John, I was cheating on you.
What?
I was on another podcast.
How dare you?
Somebody wanted to interview me. You've never interviewed me, John. That's another issue. But I was on another podcast, and I was talking about this, and I just said, that's the one thing I love to ask the guest about, because they'll actually say it when they're behind stage and we're about to go out. And one of the things I always ask them is like, so what has been the thing about Dragon Con that you've just loved, or it's just amazed you? And 9 out of 10 people will always say the costumes. I was told what the costumes are going to be. I was told about the costuming. I was told about this. I was told about that. Could not prepare for what you see and how much effort and how just interesting they are. I mean, you know, how many places are you going to go and see Cthulhu Strawberry Shortcake? Well, probably only at Dragon Con are you going to see Cthulhu Strawberry Shortcake. But, hey, you never know. There might even be a better one this year. I don't know. So it's always amazing. And it's a very different vibe, I think, which is why people keep saying, well, you need to go out to Comic-Con. I'm like, you know what? I'm all right. I'm good. Yeah. I'm good here.
It's also the city. Atlanta has that vibe about it, which, you know, it's a sexy vibe. It's a good vibe, you know, that Atlanta has, period. But wouldn't you agree that the amount of people that dress up for Dragon Con would probably be maybe 30 to 40% of the fans that attend, maybe half?
I don't know. I would think at least at some point during the convention, I would think around that 30 to 40. I also, the best thing for Dragon Con, which San Diego is now trying to steal, is the parade Saturday morning. I mean, where else can you see almost 100, 150 stormtroopers walking down the street? There is something. I actually love doing that and love seeing the little kids that their eyes are just like saucers. Because, you know, they're seeing 7-foot Wookiees down the street, and they're seeing, they're seeing whatever, and they're just, whatever their fandom is, whether it's somebody who looks like Harry Potter or whatever, these little kids are always just so like, and that's always wonderful to see too in the parade
because what?
The parade atmosphere is scary. Because what?
No, you dropped out again on us. Right when you said because, and then you left us all hanging wanting to know what you were talking about. Well, there was one question that I did want to ask before we wrap this up, is if you got some time away, as you learned last year, you're busy a lot of the time. But if you got any opportunity to get away this year, what would you like to try and catch that's not on your track? You there? Or did I lose you?
He's thinking.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm not really sure if, let's see, if I was able to get away, I try to be able to catch some more of the evening programming, you know, like Lee talked about before. It's great because not only do you have the regular track program, but then at night you have bands playing and whatnot. You know, I'd like to be able to get to see some of the bands. And then I want to go to the Dawn contest, which has been renamed, right?
Yeah, the
comic book babes contest. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Cause I want to. Oh gosh, what's the host of that? What's his name again?
Is that Voltaire?
Oh shoot, I think it is Voltaire.
Yeah. I think I'd like to see how he MCs and hosts that. You know, maybe just take some pointers and get entertained by his wittiness. You know. Mm-hmm. He's a good guy, so I would love to check out his contest. Get some pointers from my own pageant, you know.
Yeah, Voltaire's a really interesting guy. Back when the one time I put on a convention, he was a guest there, and I got to work with him a bit, and he is very knowledgeable about a lot of things, and he's a very good public speaker. He's very engaging and very charismatic, which is you know, kind of why, you know, he draws so many people to him in his concerts and whatnot.
Yes, most definitely. Yeah.
If you go to his concert, folks, go early. They are usually, there is usually a queue to get in. He's a big Dragon Con.
Yeah. Yeah, he actually invited me to his concert the first year that I was there in 2003, and I went, and it was great. And he had some special songs that used Ensign Kim in the lyrics. It was great. So I loved it.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, remind everyone where your track is actually housed at. What's the main track room at? Where's that at? It's in Sheridan.
So it's not far. It's not that much of a walk. Yeah. So it's a little downhill from the Marriott and the Hilton and Hyatt, but it's at the Sheraton for the most part. I mean, there are some panels that we're going to have for certain guests that will be in the Marriott and at the Sheraton.
Okay, so it's mostly the Sheraton.
All right.
All right.
Mostly
well,
the Sheraton. So.
And do you have a Twitter account or anything for your track or a Facebook page, fan page or anything like that?
Yeah, I have a Facebook fan page. If you go onto Facebook and in the search bar, if you type in my name, mm-hmm. 2 R's and 2 T's, WANG, and then fan page, you'll see it'll pop up the little thumbnail picture of myself and Richard Kiel, the actor who played Jaws on the James Bond movies. He's choking me, so that's my photo. I also have my regular Facebook page, which is not a fan page, but this Facebook page is specifically for fans and everyone that I've met through my Trek involvement. So if you just type in my name, you'll come up with a picture of myself and Zachary Quinto, who played the new Spock, are in that photo. It's myself and him on stage in Vegas at a convention. And you can friend request me there. And then we will have a Twitter. We will have a Twitter account for Trek Track, which I told RJ, my second, to set up. And I cannot remember. I can't remember what it is right now.
Actually, you're saying that. And I actually think it is actually listed on the Dragon Con Star Trek webpage. If you go to the fan pages on Dragon Con, you can find it.
Oh,
pretty sure it's on there. I think it is.
There you go. But I will make an announcement on my fan page what that is also when I figure it out.
Awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, Garrett, thank you so much for being on here. This has been a lot of fun. It's been great hearing your stories and finding out what's going to go on for Trek Track this year.
Yep. Really happy to be on. And hopefully enough of our conversation didn't drop out so that people will be able to have some semblance of what we talked about, you know, in a logical order.
Yeah. They'll make it up if not. All right.
They're probably drunk as they're listening to this anyway, so it doesn't matter.
You're so bad, John.
I'm horrible. Anyway, again, thank you, Garrett, for joining us, and for Lee and the rest of the guys over at the Unique Geek. Until next time, peace.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been a production of the Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG. Or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter, @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.